And it is Friday. I'd like to welcome you guys to The Journey. It's Friday once again. We're back here in our podcast studio. We've done more upgrades this week, and we're moving forward like always. We're just sharing the broadcast right now, which we invite you to do as well. Share the broadcast, share as things are hitting you, comment, become part of what we're doing here, be involved. Feel free to comment in the comments. Let us know that you're there, where you're coming from, all those sorts of wonderful things. Also, if you'd like to be a part of what we're doing here, you can go to our website at hcm-stratford.org. And at that website, you can donate and give through PayPal, be able to become a part of what we're doing here. And we have had people do that, so we'd like to thank those people for being a part of what we're doing here. And yeah, we're just getting ready. Hopefully you guys have had a great week. You know, it's been interesting times, but we're all pushing through and seeing God move in the middle of all these things and just kind of enjoying the ride. That's the key, right?
Absolutely. Enjoying the ride.
Enjoying the ride.
The ride.
The ride.
Yeah. So, I did it already.
You did it already, yeah. The table is brand new, if you didn't know. John found this beautiful table for us, so hopefully you guys like it out there.
Yeah. So anyway, I got to quit doing that, though. Just let me get this. Beauty.
Just opening up your...
Yeah.
Cool.
So what I was thinking was, you know, we always wonder, what is the purpose of life? Why are we here? And our example is Jesus Christ, obviously. And as we look at him, we see that he walked according to the Spirit. And when you see him, he's not like other people in the respect that he walked in unconditional love. He walked with unconditional love. He also was otherly to the point of Calvary. Completely otherly. And he said he did nothing except what he's seen and heard the Father doing.
Okay,
so
yeah.
That's living from heaven, from the realm of the Spirit in heaven. So he was to be our example to tell us what he wants to do. And that's one of the reasons we're doing the journey is we're all on a journey. And the journey, I believe, is that we are, Paul called it, he was laboring till Christ be formed in us. And he who began a good work is perfecting until the day of Christ Jesus, which is not when Jesus returns, but until Christ be formed in you.
Yeah, the fullness, the seventh day.
Yes, to look like Christ. And we've kind of, in Christianity, we've kind of thought that, but we've tried to work it out. It's like we got to be like Christ. So we try to be those things, but we always fail.
Well, some people grow beards, you know, and wear sandals, you know.
Does it help?
No, not at all.
but it is. We try in ourselves, but it's not. We're not capable of doing it in ourselves. It's got to be the Spirit of God in us, unveiling and forming, like I said, Jesus Christ within us.
So if we were going to be dangerously oversimplificating life itself, the whole purpose of life is to live according to the Spirit.
Yeah, like when it says that we fell.
Yeah.
That means we fell from a higher place.
Like a higher way of living.
Which is called the Spirit. It's all language. Heaven is the Spirit.
Yeah.
Earth is carnal. So we fell from spirit beings, to carnal, where we live out of the five senses.
Yeah.
And we get moved like a pinball in a pinball machine.
Which is really what we're kind of conditioned to do since birth.
Since birth.
Because it's like the first thing you learn is touch and sound and smell. And
right.
And then we actually use those things to teach our children how to walk and all. Like we activate and those senses first.
Yes. And they're not bad in themselves. But the problem is that we react to them and they could be deceiving to us. Like, you know, we could think something's bad. That's where the judgment of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil comes in. We can judge something as good or bad, and our perception could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
That's why the Lord says he had righteous judgment.
Yeah.
Because it didn't come from this realm.
he wasn't judging on a carnal level. He was actually seeing it from a spiritual level.
Yeah.
And therefore being able to give us the way on how to step out of that carnal existence, challenging us to look past what we just know for what's behind it.
Yeah. And to ascend means to be restored to our original condition. Right, I used to do antique furniture for a living, and we called it restoration, where we'd take a piece and put it back in its original condition. And that's what restoration is. He restoreth my soul, Psalm 23, to put me back in original condition, in who I really am, not who I think I am, based on five senses and completely closed off from the spirit.
That's good, yeah.
Till we start to wake up. That we're actually something more than we think we are. Who am I? Who is the Father? And begin to be restored, which is to ascend back to my original condition and be able to walk like Jesus according to the Spirit. So he came to reveal God the Father, but also to reveal me to me as a son of God, as we are all sons. We start as children, and we grow up and become sons. Maturity in the Spirit. So it's a beautiful transition when you look at it and how amazing Jesus Christ really is and what he did to descend into the darkness, because he came from another kingdom called the kingdom of light, heaven, descended into our realm, still moving in the light, though, because he said, I am the light of the world that came into the darkness. Therefore, he was still in the light, but yet in the darkness, surrounded by darkness. Came to his own, they received him not, because they didn't recognize the day of their visitation. And even us, we get into a form where we go, well, this is what it looks like, and we're waiting for something we've seen before. I've been in four revivals. I'm in the fourth one now. In my lifetime. Sounds crazy, right? But the first one was in the 80s in Stratford. When I connected... That was started for me. It started in the 70s. I met John Arnott in 1981, and it all was exploding at that time. He writes about it in a book. And then we went and planted a church in Toronto, and John moved to Toronto, and that whole thing exploded in 1994, and we were all a part of that, going down there like Larry talks about, being a part of an awakening like, and powerful things that were beyond us. And then I went to Lakeland, I believe it was 2008, and just got whacked, right? I stood outside the church, let's see, not the first one, the second one. They weren't there very long. First one seated 700, the second one seated 3,000 to 5,000, I think. And I was there, and I was standing outside the doors waiting to get in, right? And I just was looking around me. And I kid you not, there were cars driving over the boulevard, like up over the boulevard and just parking and getting out and running to the church. There were cops out in the street directing traffic. There was people everywhere. And I was just in awe going, my gosh, look, we're having revival here. People were coming to be healed. And I stood and looked at it and it didn't feel like much at the first. But then I went, I got called up on stage and whack. I was on the floor, and I had power surging through my body. All night, I could feel this through my body, right? And I went, oh, yeah, this is real, you know?
I remember we were in Montreal, and we were watching an old recording. So we're talking, like, years later, recording of one of the nights in the Lakeland Arena. I think it was May something.
In the arena?
Yeah, in the Lakeland Center or whatever.
Yeah.
And Chelsea's sister was on the couch, and like all of a sudden Todd's like, knees be healed, you know? And like all of a sudden we heard her sister just scream, and we're like,
what's happening?
And like she like fell down weeping, and she was completely healed.
Yeah.
Like from a recording. Like it wasn't even, like I still get rocked going back and watching because... And I know that could be hard for some people, but the thing is when it's God, it's God. It doesn't matter. The vessel can be broken, but the Father's complete. Like,
who's the healer?
Come on.
And is he omnipresent? So is it really, if he's omnipresent, he's outside of time, then that tape could be 20 years old, could be 100 years old. It won't matter. It's like God will, if you open up to it by faith in that moment, the Spirit of God, the same one that was moving through Todd, will move in that moment.
Yeah.
And touch you. Because God's the one doing the work.
Well, and he's like longing to touch you. It's not like he's waiting till you get the formula right.
No.
He's longing for you to cross the line of belief and belief. And not that if you didn't get healed, you didn't believe. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm just saying there's this, like, I don't know how to explain it with words. There's a place where you enter where it's just going to happen. And, like, I don't think it's because of my faith. I don't think it's because of any. I don't understand it. I can't explain it.
I think that's why they call it a mystery, right?
Yeah. But, like, you know, I just, because I know there's people who have had faith and not been healed. And
well, you know what we want? We want formulas. Just like they had the law in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It was easier to keep a bunch of rules than follow a person.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing. There's mysteries, and we need to trust him and that he loves us. Instead of looking for formulas, then we're not really looking for Christ, are we? We're looking for a formula. Lord, if you just give me a formula, I can live by the formula. Yeah, but he goes, that's not what it was about. Otherwise, I'd have left you in the law. It's about intimacy and relationship, right?
Well, and I know even for me, like, I was in the kitchen, and we were eating dinner, and I, like, bit on the fork and cracked my tooth, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, you know, well.
This ain't good.
Can't fix that. Move on. And then that night, me and AJ, my best friend, we were watching the live stream, and he's just like, I just see people's teeth getting healed, and all of a sudden, like, I wasn't even thinking about it, and my tongue kind of ran over the crack, and it was gone. And I just fell, like, to the ground bawling, because it was so intense. Like, it was just, it was beyond what I've known.
God is a supernatural God, and it's natural for him. It's just us from a fallen state, right?
For sure. And so we've got the 80s.
Yeah.
We've got the renewal. We've got Lakeland and...
And then when he started speaking to me in 2006 about the awakening, after I came back from Costa Rica from another near-death experience, that's when I began to enter into probably the greatest awakening I've had, other than in 1978 when he ripped the veil open and spoke to me. But he just came and he asked me this question. He said, what do you think of my word? And I said, well, Father, I really love your word, but let's be honest, it doesn't really work. Well, he didn't respond to that other than to begin to reveal to me what was actually in the word. He began to pull it apart for me. He began to move. And I experienced power like I've never experienced before. I used to say to people that it was like, you're calling this kitty. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. And then this massive lion jumps through the window, and you're like, ah! You know, I remember being curled up on the floor like a fetus. And I told him years ago I'd had a powerful visitation, and I had to stop it because I thought I was going to die. And I said, it's been like 20 years now or more, and I'm thinking, if this ever happens again, I don't care. I'm not stopping it. I do not want to stop it. And so, and it was always my flesh that was in the way anyways, my carnality. And so it just all of a sudden, it's like this intensity comes. I'm curled up like a fetus on the floor going, oh my gosh, do I know what I'm asking for? It's like you've been asking for a drink because you've been in the desert so long, and all of a sudden you step under Niagara Falls, and it's like, oh. But it was so good, the intimacy, and it is good. It hasn't ended. It's just I am now maturing to grow to walk in his manifest presence and glory. That's the purpose of this thing. And to climb the ladder, to walk as Jesus walked, right? That's what we're called to do. And so in four near-death experiences, one of which I died and came back in 74, the second one I'm going to talk about it tonight, something a little bit different than we usually do, but to reveal how amazing and merciful the Father is in the midst of things. This one, I was dying too, but God healed me and brought me back again. And then I've had two since then, which are NDEs. They're not the same as these. So, yeah, it's just, it's God is so good, though. Like, so in 2004, I went to, we took a team to Costa Rica. There was two of us. There was me and Ivan Allen. We were pastoring together at the time. And we, he had married somebody from Costa Rica. And so he knew Costa Rica. And so it was like, we're going to go to Costa Rica and we're going to minister down there. So, okay. So we took a team of like 20. Don't ever do that. It's really crazy to have 20 people, and just to get vehicles to get people around is crazy, right? I mean, it was a blast. Don't get me wrong, but it's a lot of people. So there's 20 of us. We go to Costa Rica to a place called Rio Grande in the mountains and to minister to them. And it was amazing. The Lord was just blasting people. And we were watching them enter into the love of God. We were seeing deliverance. It was the weirdest thing. You give somebody deliverance. You're speaking English. They're Spanish. They don't even know what you're talking about. Demons are leaving. It was wonderful. And the joy, people laughing on the floor, and a lot of prophetic ministry, right? Because that's what Ivan was known for, is a lot of prophetic. And so we were moving in the, we had teams, and we were moving in the prophetic as well. Had an amazing time. It was just intense, seriously. And we were there doing that for about a week. I mean, so much so that the leaders of that over that area, not the pastors, we were staying with them. But there's leaders over the region. They were one night sitting at the back with their Bibles open, trying to figure out what's going on, because things were everywhere. People were all over the floors, and it was like, oh, no, man, I think we're in doo-doo here. And at one point, the Lord had me go up to the front. And if you understand Costa Rican churches, you really don't step in and take charge. Well, the Lord prompted me. He was moving. And the pastor was about to shift gears and have some kids come up and sing or something. I can't remember what it was, but we were going off beam, right, into this, into the program. And Joe Lanza, a friend of mine, he's there, and he's doing somewhat of the interpreting. And I go, hey, Joe, tell him no programs. We're going on with this. God is about to move. And Joe looks at me like, because he's from, I lost it, Nicaragua, which is right next door. And so it's like he understands the culture. And you should have seen his eyes. He looks at me like, oh, my gosh, man, you don't do that. You don't do that. And I go, Joe, just tell him. So Joe turns and he tells him. And the guy's looking at me. He's a great guy. But he's looking at me because people just don't do that. And seriously, the Lord just came down on the place. And we were there hours and hours just in the glory. It was wonderful. We were having a really good time. So we got towards the end of the week, and we were coming back, doing ministry a couple other places, and then coming back there, staying with the people. They were beautiful, beautiful people. And we decided to take a break. And so we split up. A group of us went to the to the jungle to do zip lines in the bush. But I'm an ocean guy, right? I love water. So there was nine of us that went to Hako Beach. And so we rented this car, a couple of cars actually. And by the way, afterwards, my buddy from California was with me, Mike, and he listed 21 things that God actually set up in preparation for this journey I was about to go on that I didn't know was about to happen. Like, he was kind of blown away by it. He was like watching it, standby watching it, and kind of tallied them because he was involved in it all. And so I'll give it to you like this. We went for two nights, nine of us. We rented a car, two cars. I think we paid $40 a piece because it was a fair ways, a lot further than I thought. And anything takes a while there because you're going through all these twists and turns in the mountains, right? So there was this three guys. There was Ken, Evan, and there was a guy named Kika, at the last moment decided to go with us, and he's Spanish. He didn't even speak English, and he wanted to go with us. So he came, Mike and myself. And so we went. It's the next morning that after we stayed there one night, the next morning, we decided we were going to go to this place called Hermosa Beach. Hermosa is about 10 minutes down the road from Jaco, and you really shouldn't go there unless you know how to surf. But I didn't know any of that. None of us did. Mike was a surfer from California, so he said, well, we'll get some boards later. He, meanwhile, was at the time out booking some bikes because they were going to go riding in the hills and some motorcycles. And we were in the room. There was Evan, Kika, and Ken and myself. And I remember because Evan was sitting over by the fridge and he was eating cereal. And all of a sudden, I had a visitation. Now, I've had this up to this point prior three times something like this happened. Twice when I was ODing on drugs, it happened to me. And once in my living room, I had a revelation where the other dimension opens right up in 1978. And so I looked over, and right behind Evan was, you could draw a line around the door where somebody was standing. I couldn't see them with my physical eyes, but I knew they were standing right there. Now, the thing about that is, it's a little like if you've been driving down the road in your car on a really hot day, and if you look down the road, you'll see what I call a heat wave. These waves.
Yeah, it's like a shimmer.
Yeah, that's what was going on, only it was in a complete, like a doorway. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, what the heck? I thought, is that an angel? That he must be coming to bless us, like he's really excited about what we're doing in Rio Grande and what's happening there. I don't know. I mean, I'm experiencing something, but I didn't know. So I walked over behind Evan where it was, and whack, I stepped into the glory by the fridge, and I was just wrecked. But he didn't say anything to me. He didn't say anything, but it stayed. Now, I guess in retrospect, he was there to heal me. He was just tipping me off, I guess. I don't really know to this day exactly what took place there, other than I'm in the glory. I know he's there, and this is just part of leaving. Yeah.
So a little while ago, one of our friends was out in their space in the presence, just unbelievable presence of God.
Yeah.
The husband and wife just spending time with the Lord, and then their son was unable to breathe. And they, like, get in the car, and they're going to the hospital, and we've told the story on here before. And the little boy said, like, hey, Mom, are you believing? And all of a sudden she's like, oh, yeah. And then he got totally healed, right?
Mm.
So we were talking afterwards, and we were sitting probably in my living room upstairs. And she said, you know, it's crazy how those things happen right after, you know, you've been in the thing, and, like, the attack comes, yeah. Right? And all of a sudden I had this thought, and I just said, well, what if it was the other way around? What if that came? What if you were in the garage because the Lord knew what was about to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Not that it happened because of it, but it happened in preparation for it.
Yeah, exactly.
That the moments with God are for the preparation for what we're about to walk through, and we don't always notice it.
This is a prime example of this, right?
Yeah, that's why I brought it up,
no,
just because I saw that contrast where it's like,
yeah,
he comes in such power with no explanation.
No.
Like, even they were having this encounter, and they're like, wow, this is amazing. So it's like, there's not necessarily explanation, but it's like, in preparation for what you're about to walk through, God's already there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So Mike comes back, and we leave to go to Hermosa Beach. And again, we're only going to go for a little while and then come back, and then they're going to get surfboards later. So we're going to do some body surfing, basically. So we get there, and we look, and there's this trailer with some surfboards leaning against it, but no people on the beach. One girl way down the beach, I see her suntanning. Otherwise, there's nobody. And the sand is black. It's like from volcanoes. So the sand's black. It's kind of cool. And but I didn't clue in to this. And later, I'm talking to a guy later that's a surfer, and he says to me, "Are you kidding?" He goes, "There's been professional Olympic surfers killed there." And he goes, "Not just anybody goes there. You got to kind of know what you're doing. In the wintertime, the waves can get to 35 to 40 feet coming in there. It's got the worst riptide, one of the worst riptides in the world, where there's the edge drops off underneath. So then what happens is the water hits it, and there's this riptide that takes place underneath the water, right?" I don't know any of this, right? So we get in the water. There's about 3 or 4 foot waves. So we're having a great time, probably for 15, 20 minutes. These small waves are happening. And then 3 10-foot waves come in. And you don't realize how big that is until you're standing in front of it. It's a wall of water is what it is. And it's got a lot of power. It hit. And I remember Ken in the one, it's like he had glasses, sunglasses on, and they were gone. They're just gone. And Mike, he rode the one 30 to 40 feet on top of it. That's how far it carried him, right? It just like craziness. Then I got in that one. And then the next one comes, and I turned around to see where it was, and it broke right before me. And what that means is that it then curls and hits me, and it drives me down in the ocean. And I was told it's like a 5,000-pound car driving you straight into the bottom of the ocean. And that's what it did, right to the bottom. Now, our minds are kind of funny. What it did is it brought a memory back for me of when I was a kid swimming in Lake Huron up in Goderich and diving too shallow, and, you know, you scratched your nose or something and went, "Oh, shoot," right? And so that's what I thought happened, that I just went too low and hit the bottom, not realizing I went straight in, the riptide hit me and broke my neck just like that. And so now I'm in the water, and I'm feeling like what's going on, and all of a sudden I feel like somebody's tapping me on the shoulder. I can feel this tapping on my shoulder, and I'm thinking, what the heck is that? Is that a fish? Is that an angel? What the heck is that? I'm wondering what's going on, right? I didn't realize that it was my own arm because I had no feeling from here down. I was dead. So I didn't know that my arm was basically going like this and hitting me, and I thought it was somebody else. And so at that point, I came to the top of the water. Mike was about 25 feet away from me, and I realized that I couldn't swim, that I was paralyzed, and I started to sink. And at that point, I called out, "Help me," right? But they didn't hear. Now, when I was sinking, everything went into slow motion, and I knew what that was from the car accident. I knew that I was passing through now. And it's funny, you know, people, you wonder, geez, I'd never want to drown. Well, that lasted, that thought hit me, but only for seconds. And then it was gone. And then I was oblivious to really anything, but everything slowing down, and that I was going home. It was all over. And so that's when I began to talk to the Lord. I call it when you begin to negotiate. Let's put it that way. Because I've negotiated before. And so I started saying to him, "Lord, I have a lot of things to do. Like the prophetic words you've given me, what you've asked me to do. I don't want to come home before I fulfill what you've asked. You know, I don't want to go and leave anything undone." And I said, "And Sue and the kids, they still need me. I would like to be here for them." And I was thinking about that today. That's 16 years ago now. So Ashley would have been 14, right? Matt was around 16. Tosh would be about 20, 22, something like that. So they were young. They were still fairly young. And at that point, I guess Mike had looked over when I'd come up out of the water, and what he's seen kind of froze him in unbelief, because my face is covered in blood when I hit the bottom, right? So my face is covered in blood, and he's just kind of standing there going like, what's going on? And he's kind of frozen. Then all of a sudden, he rushes through the water and I guess reached out to grab my foot. And at that point, the next wave came and just sucked me right out of his hands, and I went under. And so then I'm under the water. And then he looks, and I begin to come up at a distance, and he sees me floating face down in the water now. So they run over to me. Remember, I'd been praying to the Lord about letting me stay. I wanted to, you know, finish what he'd sent me to do. And as they lifted me up out of the water, which is probably not a good thing to do, but they did, and it's quite a ways to the beach. Like, it's kind of, I don't know, 50 yards. I don't know. It's a long ways till it gets deep, because you could walk in because of the waves that come in there, I guess. And they lifted me up, and they're carrying me, and I realize now that I'm a quadriplegic. And so now I'm discussing with the Lord, Lord, seriously, I need my arms and legs. I can't do this as a quadriplegic. No, of course you can. I'm again negotiating, right, that I don't want to do this. And so they get me to the beach, and they start to pray for me. Now, later Ken tells me that the Lord told him before he left Stratford that he'd see a creative miracle. He just didn't know that it was going to be me, right? And so they're praying for me. It seemed like a long time, but it was probably about 10 minutes or so. And all of a sudden, I began to feel something in my one leg. And then after a while, into the other leg, and then into my arm, then the other arm. And at first, it still felt like a time when I laid a motorcycle down going around a corner and shattered my arm. Felt a little like that. There was pain just shooting through my body as it was coming back in. And they finally, I'm feeling it all back again. And there was no permanent damage. They loaded me into a truck. And I said to them, let's go and put me in the pool back at the hotel, and I'll just wash off the sand and crap, and I don't need to go to the hospital. And Ken goes, oh, and I'm going to answer to Susan when I get home? No, not working like that. We're taking you to the clinic, right? So there's in Hako, there's a clinic. Not a hospital, but
like a walk-in clinic.
A walk-in clinic, yeah. And so they take me to this clinic, and we're going in the door, and a woman walks up, get this, walks in, speaks English. So everybody's Spanish, man. She speaks English and says, you can trust this doctor. Turned around and left. Just like that. That's all that she did. You can trust her. And then leaves. I'm like, what is going on? You know? And then they begin to search for a neck brace. They search all over the city of Hako and found one neck brace. And she got it for me. So then she puts me in a neck brace and says, you need to go to San Jose. And told me, don't move. Because she didn't know what damage there is. So don't move. And she goes, it would cost you about $600 American for an ambulance. But she said, just go back to the hotel, grab a mattress, and put it in the back of this vehicle we had, which is a, let me think of what that was. I'll come back to that. So I'm in this, it's a 4Runner. Toyota, is it? It makes the 4Runner. I'll find it. Toyota 4Runner. And so... That's what we do. Then she goes, don't worry, be happy. And I get in this thing. Now it's 2 hours and 20 minutes to the hospital through the mountains, right? 20 miles an hour in a lot of places due to traffic. and I just supposed to lay on my back on this mattress and don't move. So you're just kind of glancing out the side windows at what's going on for 2.5 hours. On the way, we avoided 3 accidents in San Jose. It was like craziness there. There's 3 million people live there in that city. And the thing about Costa Rica is signs, stop signs are a suggestion, not an absolution. People just drive through them. It's not like here. So it's like, that's why you got to watch out for accidents, right? We get to this hospital. It's the state-of-the-art hospital called Bible Clinic, Biblica Clinica or whatever. It's the Bible Clinic is what it is. It's only for missionaries and rich people. Most people don't go there. That's what it's there for, that hospital. And the thing is, Kika had been in a really bad truck accident a few years earlier. And they, because of insurance and stuff, they took him to that hospital. So he knew right where he was going. That's why he came. Last minute, Kika comes. Because he needs to be there to get us to this place. We would have never found it. Ever. It's like crazy. I mean, we're out of the element, right? So we get there. They say to us, we need $1,000 American or we don't proceed. You can't get in. It's just the way it works, you know? And so Mike's here. He's an American, and he has a credit card. He just hands him his credit card. It says, let's go. So in we go. I'm in the emergency area from 5:30 to 11 at night before I got in a room. That's how long it took. And in that time, they did, over the next 3 days, they did CAT scans, MRIs, X-rays, all these tests. And neurosurgeons were there because of the brain and specialists. And the head neurosurgeon, he comes to me and he goes, through Mike knew some broken Spanish from California, right? He goes, no broken bones, no fractures, spinal cord's in place. There's a herniated disc between the C4 and the C5, and I don't understand. There's scar tissue. What that meant was when I died in the car accident in 78, the enemy had hit me in the same place as hit me in the car accident between the C4 and C5. He says, your muscles and tendons in your neck, you must be like Superman. That's what he says. I said, no, but I know who is. His name's Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm here. And remember, I got full use of my arms and my legs. It's incredible. Oki, the pastor's wife, she'd said, don't go to Jaco. We didn't really listen, right? And on the way to San Jose, on the way back from Jaco, we were coming up this road by Rio Grande, and they slowed down, and there's Oki out in the road going, I told you not to go. So they actually got to see this whole thing go down, right? The church, like through her, they knew all about this, what had happened, and God was setting them up as well. So everything we think is always black and white. You're healed, you're not healed. But sometimes it's more about obedience to Christ and what he's doing, and us walking it out. We may not like it, but it's walking it out, right? So when I'm in there for 3 days, I prayed for missionaries, people with cancer, and language teams that were all staying in that hospital for some reason or another. I got to minister to them. And I realized that God is the journey. He takes us on it. It's not where I would have chosen to go, but it's the journey I took. The doctors were shocked, and in 3 days I walked away. Went in on a Tuesday, went out on a Friday. Now, one of the things I've always really, really not liked, right, was people that exaggerate, especially evangelists, right? They think God needs help. He really doesn't need any help. And so I got a history of knowing about some of that stuff, but we won't go into that today, right? It's not that important at the moment, other than to say that if God heals somebody, God heals somebody. I can trust him. So I asked a nurse who worked in a trauma unit previously in her life. I said, so is it possible that I got hit, boom, and then in that 10 minutes, the pressure comes off and all my circulation came back? And she said, no, it's a 6-month minimum. And really, by what you've told me, you'd been paralyzed. The swelling does the damage. It would have been done. And so she goes, I believe God healed you. That was asking somebody that had worked with trauma, these kind of neck injuries, and seen all this stuff in a hospital. Then when I came to Stratford General and I had to go in and give them my x-rays and stuff, so they had the history, the guy comes out to me and says, dude, he goes, you should be in a halo. And what he meant is one of those things with the pins in holding you in place, right? And when I looked at the x-rays, and he goes, I don't understand. And so God had intervened in this whole scenario for me, right? So when I got out, and it's quite the trip in 3 days, I spoke on the Saturday night back at this church in Rio Grande. People were crying and praying. There were salvations. There were healings. There was deliverance. And the only guy with really any unbelief would have been me, because I remember this one person had a cast and their arm had been busted, and I prayed for them, and now they're saying it's healed. And I said, no, no, you don't understand. They said, no, you don't understand. The pain's all gone. They're healed. See, because they seen me prior, then they heard about what happened in Hako, and now their faith is through the roof. They hear me, they see me come back, and there I am.
Well, they also understand what it means to hit the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
For us, we're like, oh, yeah, you know, you hit the bottom. But for them, they're like, no, you don't understand. These waves kill people. Like, mm-hmm. I've watched a few documentaries on these places, not that one specifically, but yeah. I've watched a few surfing documentaries. These waves are not like the waves you see at Port Stanley.
No.
We have no concept in, like, around here of what waves look like.
It freaked me out for a while when I'd see them on TV, and I'd see somebody surfing, and I'd be like, holy smokes, because I could feel the water, you know?
Well, and that's why they knew that if you had been driven down to the bottom, the yeah. chances of you coming back up that and being alive and normal were next to nothing. And so they had faith in what they would culturally know to have killed you and you survived.
Yeah.
So they knew the severity, where we hear the story and it sounds severe.
Yeah.
But we lack understanding because we don't see 10-foot waves. We don't know what that looks like unless you've been on vacation, and then you do.
It's a lot of water.
And you get out of the water.
Yes. So there was a lady in the one meeting. She came from a church of 10,000 in San Jose. And she at night was having dreams, and she was terrified because a spirit of murder was trying to kill her. And she said to me, you have the spirit of life, and God delivered her like that. Just like that, she was free. I mean, these were the kind of things that were happening. And it wasn't because of me or my great faith, I got to tell you. I'm standing there watching like everybody else.
Come on, that's awesome.
I know, it was a good time. Even though I'd just been through this traumatic situation, right? You know? So when I came back, Mike had sent me this, and this is a few of the things that had happened, just to give you a scenario. Mike had rented a Jeep, and when he went to pick up the Jeep battery wouldn't work. The thing wasn't working, so the guy that rented the vehicles had to give him his, because he'd already paid for it, so he gives him a Toyota 4Runner, and it's got a big back where I was able to lay down on this mattress from the hotel. Kika came, remember? I told you he had an accident. He's from the city, had 3 million in it. So it's a little tricky to get around if you don't know where the heck you're going. And again, stop signs being a suggestion, it's a little freaky. That's why, you know. The neck brace, one in Hako. Mike, all his clothes were in the laundry. And that morning when we left, just as we came over to the hotel to get the mattress, this girl that was on the team bought him a new shirt, and she had the shirt standing, said, "Hey, I bought you this shirt." So he was able to put this clean shirt on to go with me to San Jose. I get there, and guess what? Ivan and Timo are in San Jose when this all goes down. They are already in that city, which is crazy. And so Ivan's able to connect with his wife and then get a hold of Susan and tell them what was going, tell her what's going down. And she felt pretty helpless being here and not able to do anything and not knowing what had happened yet. It was still in the process. The mattress fit the truck. When we got to the parking lot, it was locked up, but Kika got us into it. Being Spanish again, he just goes and starts speaking to this guy. And Mike had 10,000 colones in his pocket, which is $20 American. Boom. They put us into the lot. One of the nice things that happened is that when we're in the hospital for 3 days, Mike stays with me. He's got like a bed in the one end of the room. He's out getting all different kinds of food every day, and he brings it in. So we're like testing food from everywhere. So that was a wonderful time. One of the things that was really good is I never usually get insurance when I travel. I was like, so what, you know? You're not that gone that long. So just before I left, I thought I should get some insurance. Probably was Susan saying, "John, you better get some insurance." Let's be honest about it, right?
It might not have been your idea.
Might not have been my idea. To be honest.
I don't know if Sue's watching or not, but we better cover our bases.
So she would tell me anyways later, right? It was actually me. Probably was. But the beauty of this was it cost me $24 Canadian. And when I was in the hospital for 3 days, it was 1 million colones, which works out to $7,000 Canadian. $7,000 for 3 days. Those MRIs, all that stuff, it wasn't cheap. I had to put it on Mike's credit card and then get it reimbursed by the insurance company for $24. That was the best $24 I ever spent, I got to tell you. So if you're traveling, $24, $7,000, it's a good deal, right? So then I was preaching 3 days later. Like I said, it's crazy. And the craziest thing is, when I got back to Stratford, Sue was at Joe and Sue Lanza's house at the back of the house. And I came in a van. I'll never forget this. And I got out of the van. And as I got out of the van, it was like I was stepping back into this world. And it was a gift. It's like I was between two worlds, this world and heaven, the spiritual world. And I was moving back slowly into this one. And it was the weirdest feeling. It's almost like this wasn't supposed to happen. This was not supposed to happen. And God's mercy, he let me stay once again. And because he did that, right, here I was. Seeing, walking towards Susan, like phasing in, coming back. It was the wildest experience ever. You know, God is so good. I mean, now it's a story 16 years later, right? But I got to tell you, if you live through one of those things, it is like unreal. The divine hand of God through all those things, and Mike counted on 21 of them, just the divine hand of God, his mercy, that angel standing in the 10 minutes before we're going to Hermosa, he shows up. I'm thinking it's because he's really happy about what's going on in Rio Grande, meaning he's going, dude, what are you doing? I'm going to have to fix you in a few minutes. You know, he's all ready to go to the beach and heal me, you know? It's just amazing. I remember. Yeah, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the part where you're under the water, mm-hmm. and how like you talked about like the drowning part only lasted for a few moments. Where
the thought of it, yeah,
and then you were in like this different state.
Yes,
where you weren't aware of the drowning, you weren't aware the lack of oxygen Mm-mm. or the physical things, Mm-mm. but it's like you almost detached and completely were aware of the spirit.
Yeah,
and were able to have this moment without the other affecting it. And I was just thinking, like, how crazy would that be if we knew how to do that? We're in moments of inward struggle, in moments of things like this, where we could just be like, boom, and be aware of that world instead of this one.
I think that's what it means to ascend. That's my journey, yeah. is I want to go to the place of being able to live and move and have my being and him aware.
Come on.
Of that realm.
It's wild.
And be in this one, yeah. right? It's just, it was similar in the car accident. Like I remembered, I said before, the car's flipping six times end over end. Everything goes into slow motion. And then I'm not in this world now. It's all, I'm in another one and having a totally different experience. And when I come back, I'm laying on the side of the road in the gravel. And I miss the part where my body's bouncing around the car and goes through the side window. I'm not even aware of any of that.
Wow.
Nothing. Because I'm in another world.
I remember once I was in a meeting in Windsor, and it was Rob Berdosti. Mm-hmm. And he was talking, and I can't remember what he was saying. It was pretty much unimportant what was being spoken. The presence of God started to hit me so strong.
Yeah.
That it started out like sunlight, like just a beam of sunlight on my head type thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I got really hot and it got thicker and thicker. And then it felt like I was like in this different mode of like, I could feel my skin. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
like
it's opening right now.
Yeah, I can feel it yes. right now. And like, you become aware of like, oh, wow, I have hair, or I don't have hair, but it's still there, and it's growing. And so I'm in the meeting, and I went to, like, tell Chels what was going on.
Yeah.
And when I lifted my arm, it felt like my skin dripped off.
Yeah.
I was so wrecked in the glory of God.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was like every cell in my body was aware of life.
Yeah.
And it's like so often I forget to go to that place.
And see, it's always available. We get there in these traumas or in these experiences, but the fact of the matter is we're there right now. It's just a matter of focus, right? You focus and the realm opens up and you experience Yeshua. Oh, the loving Father is right here all the time.
When it's like even...
So when we talk about these things, Corey, like you just did, and like I've been sharing this testimony, what is a testimony if it isn't a door? As we discussed the door, it starts to open. It'll open for anybody that's listening to this, that you are open to this. You'll begin to experience the presence of Father, Abba Daddy, right? Yeah. You know? So John Arnott had this dream, Corey. Shortly after. Yeah.
Whee!
Hi, Captain. Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. Thank you for life. He's the Father of life. He's the Father of life, not death. Right? Yeah. It makes you wonder why we put cemeteries around the church.
Symbolism.
When God is the God of life. Right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Somebody was just touching me head. That felt nice. Mm. Mm. Okay. John Arnott.
He had a dream or something, right?
At the at the beginning of the renewal in 1994. And him and Carol were playing in the waves. Oh. This is why it meant a lot to me. They're playing in the waves at the beach. And when he got pushed over, and he said, when he got up, he looked, and there was a huge wall of water coming straight for him. And he said, oh no, Carol, we're dead. Now, I realize that the funny thing about, they say about somebody, the prophet coming and sharing a message, but the thing is, the prophet's the message, not what he says, it's his life. And I realized in that experience that God was showing me, don't turn your back on the glory when it starts to come this time. See, John was in a great move in 94, but God had warned him, the next wave's coming is like the one that hit me, right? Don't turn your back on it. Right, because God's going to move in power like we've never seen him move before, and not necessarily the way we think he will. That's our problem, is we always look backwards to try to go forwards. It's kind of a crazy thing, isn't it? Looking back at Azusa, Azusa was amazing. Amazing. But it's not compared. The latter rain is greater. God's going to move. Rick Joyner, he had in the 90s, early 90s, had a vision of a man not prepared. And he was in the hospital from the first wave. But he was looking out the window at the sea, waxing a huge surfboard, getting ready for the next bigger wave to come. You see, these are just prophetic pictures of a great wave coming.
So why didn't you just get a picture?
Who? What?
Why did Joyner get the picture and you got the actual wave?
I would like to know that, Lord.
Who signed up for this class?
I don't know. Me, obviously.
I know that. I think, yes. Personally, I've had a lot of encounters over the last 3 years. And come through like a totally in just different mindset, almost like my own birth canal, like being rebirthed. And
like Nicodemus.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't easy to get through. I'm a lot bigger now. Mm. But but I just honestly, like, even things I've seen in the past have now been filtered for me, cleaner, to where, like, I'm realizing there will be those who do what we did in the last wave and the next wave.
Probably.
There will. There'll be stadiums. There'll be these things.
Yeah, yeah.
But where we'll see the power of God is in the seed that died. Jonathan Edwards.
Mm.
The Bible says unless a seed comes, falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. And I believe that Welsh revival was a seed of what God truly intended to do on the earth.
Oh, like Evan Roberts.
Yeah, where culture shifts and changes, where the white gloves come on, where things changed.
In the culture, in the on
the
outside.
Donkey stopped listening because nobody was swearing.
I know, how bizarre.
It just, so much shifted in the glory. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there will be those who, I was at a dinner and I was talking about how God's going to move in families and move in, and a friend said, well, he's going to move everywhere. And at first I was kind of like, oh, he's missing the point. But then I realized, you know what? No, he will.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll see the similar things happening, but what's going to happen is it will fail to compare to the organic.
Right.
If you bring the weapons of the last war, they won't work in the next one. Because the truth is, like, I had a dream a while back where there was these, like, three or four armies they were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, this one army that had, like, crazy guns. Like, kind of like, almost like, don't know, like alien kind of alien guns. But they had like this crazy weapons, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to the guys who had the most power.
Yeah.
And they laid their weapons down. And then the next army, like with the like more power, laid their weapons down. And by the end of it, everybody had their weapons on the ground, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, when you all realize you've been killing your own family, then you'll enter revival.
Yeah.
We've been at war with our family.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all of them that dwell within it. We've been at war with people instead of with darkness.
Yes.
And even that, it's not our job to war.
No.
We need to be at peace because the blood of Jesus made peace.
That's right.
I need to be at peace. That's what the whole preparation was for you, was to be at peace in the middle of being a lifeless body on a beach.
Where you know you have no control. When the wave hits you, you got no more control. It's all over. When the car flips, it's all over, right? It's like what I learned in the water before being pulled out, as I did in the car accident, is that life can end in a moment, literally, in a moment. Mm. And what concerned me one moment was of no value the next.
Yeah, you weren't thinking about your cell phone bill.
No, didn't matter. You weren't thinking about theology.
No.
You weren't thinking about denominations. You weren't thinking about people you were angry at. It's like you can get caught up with all these voices of concern around you.
Come on.
And not know that you're choking.
This is like you guys need to mark down an hour and 2 minutes, because this is honestly a deep spiritual truth that is so simple that it gets looked at like it's childish.
Yes.
But it's actually the beginning of awakening to realize that which you cannot control is something you should not try to control.
That's right. And you shouldn't overlook. It's like so Bob Jones said,
oh.
Have you learned to love? When Come he on. Had died and was there, and then God sent him back, right? Did you learn to love? Are we learning as the church of Jesus Christ, as the bride of God, are we learning to love? It's the most important thing. We can get caught up in all these things, which is really in our own intellect and mind. But when you come to that place, like I said, the voices stop. You, at that moment, none of it mattered. Only the Lord Jesus and the loved ones in your life. That's all that was in my mind, was my wife, my children, and my Lord Jesus, who I was before. That's all. The rest of it is gone. It didn't matter what I was wearing. It didn't matter what car I drove. It did not matter. It was over. And that's happened to me now 4 times, not to mention the times when I OD'd on the drugs. I'm a little slow learner, I guess. I don't know.
Well, actually, I was going to bring this up earlier, but I didn't feel like it was the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And but it is now, because the Lord told me when you went through the 4th time in the beginning of COVID, where you actually contracted COVID and were unable to breathe, and they were going to
put me on a ventilator,
all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they were taking you to the hospital, and I remember the few days where you were getting worse and worse and worse. It was the day they took you to the hospital, the Lord told me to rest. He said, don't worry, John will not die. And I was like, well, then why is he going to the hospital? Like, you could just take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke to me and he said, you can't overcome something you haven't walked through.
Yeah.
You have to walk through it. You can't overcome it if you don't walk in it and out.
So isn't that the same as the information we learn about God, but we don't have the kiss?
Exactly. And even like last week, you were talking about the difference between, like every week we talk about it, but the difference between knowledge and knowing.
Yes.
And how people can say whatever they want, but until you've been in that place, you don't know.
No.
And so when the spirit of death
comes to visit,
comes to intimidate.
Yeah.
Because it says Christ has defeated it.
Yes. And it was an enemy. It was the final enemy, it says. And yet so, we think that death is coming to take us to heaven.
Yeah, which
is a lie.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense.
No.
And so like death and Jesus are chilling on weekends.
Yeah,
but
right.
He's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no, like, God's not yin and yang.
No.
He's so far beyond that. He's an all, you know, the craziest thing that I've realized is God chooses to be God.
Yeah.
So when he chose to be love and life and all giving, he pushed out all those other things. Like, he chose to deny those things.
Because it's like a knife. It has two sides, right?
Yeah. And he does not answer to us. We answer to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he holds all things together, but not all things are him.
Right.
It's hard to understand because it's a little like cookie, like fortune cookie sounding.
I know.
He is in all things, but he is not all things.
Exactly. We're not Hindus.
No, but it's like, but when you realize that wait a minute, we have allowed something that Jesus defeated to be such a natural part of our lives that we've embraced it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's devastated us at moments where we weren't expecting it or preparing for it.
Yeah.
But we've allowed it to come in and basically rule over us,
mm-hmm.
because really that's why people are eating healthy. That's why people are running. They don't want to die.
Because the greatest fear is the fear of death.
Yeah.
Not even death itself, but the fear of death is what holds the whole of humanity in a grip.
And in fact, there's two moments that I can find where Jesus flexed his God muscles. Probably three if we include the one where it says he walked through the crowd,
mm-hmm.
where he passed through them through physically.
Them, yes.
Yeah, just walked right through.
Because you don't just walk around angry Jews that want to throw you off a cliff.
No, and it's so ridiculous to, like, they're literally trying to kill him, and he just walks through them. He passes through them. And so there's that. There's the Mount of Transfiguration, but then there's the one that people don't ever go and check out, and it's in the soldiers coming to take him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they say, "Who is Jesus?" And when he says, "I am," it says they were thrown to the ground. Another translation says they went head over foot. Like, he threw, and it says that Judas went and got many temple police and Roman soldiers. We're talking a big group of guys, like close to 100 guys came to get Jesus.
It's always amazing to me that these guys get back up and they still arrest them. After that, I would think they'd be running for their lives.
But he says something.
Mm.
He says, "No one takes my life.
Right.
I give it." And that's when he said, "I will come with you." Like, he went with them. I don't want to say he said, "I'll go with you," but I'm just saying, like, he chose. They had no choice in the matter. And it's really funny because then you realize what Peter was doing when he cut the guy's ear off.
Mm-hmm.
He was following Jesus' example. He was saying, "Well, Jesus knocked him over. It's wartime, right?
Yeah, like, we can take care of this guy."
Woohoo! Finally, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, Jesus is like, "Dude, you don't get it. I didn't do it to hurt them. I did it to show them they're not in control of this moment."
Yeah.
And that's why even when he goes before the judge, he's like looking at him like, "Yeah, you don't really have control over this either." Because even the guy, like the guy in charge, didn't want to crucify him.
No, I washed my hands of this one.
Yeah, he's like,
his wife was having these dreams, and he knew this is not a good idea, man.
Well, and he's looking at the guy. He's like, "Who would want to kill this guy? He's wonderful, you know." Like, and so,
so who's the one they let go? Barabbas.
Yeah.
Was a zealot.
Yeah. No, I know, it's crazy, and like when you start to look. So here we are, and we're worshiping death.
Yeah.
And Jesus has completely defeated it, set us free from it. Even before the cross says, "If you believe in the one who sent me and the words I speak to you, you shall not see death, but enter eternal life."
Yeah.
Eternal life is so far beyond death. I read these accounts, I forget when it was like 1600s or something, or 1700s, I believe, somewhere there in Ireland. And in that area, they used to actually, Christians would actually pray and ask the Lord when they were coming home, and they would have a party, and at the end of the party, they would just sit in a chair, close their eyes, and they were gone.
Yeah.
It wasn't from disease. It wasn't from all these things that are so easily beseeching us, so easily tying us down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's a new day, man.
Like, I had some pain in my body today that was, like, pretty severe.
Yeah.
Totally gone.
Yeah.
Where to go?
Was it ever there?
Yeah, exactly. Or was I allowing myself
to entertain
to submit to something that is beneath me?
There's so much God wants to reveal to us, I think, in the Reformation, isn't there? Like, and so I walk through these things to come to a place.
Come on.
You know, like, we were never called to merely go to heaven. We were called to intimacy. We were called to be redeemed and then to redeem for redemption. Our life is to flourish with his life, which is that Zoe life that we've talked about, which is indestructible, incorruptible. That's what's inside of us, Zoe, the resurrection life, right? To be converted merely to maintain and hold on until the end was never God's intention. It's something that we've been subtly brought into because we've not understood spirituality and what it was like for the early apostles, the desert fathers, the mystics, those that pressed into intimacy and lived in a whole different way. It's like, I was asked this question the other day. I was asked about Gnostics because I'd made a comment from the Book of Thomas. And it's like this, to give you an example. There were a lot of different sects of Gnostics in that time. In the early church. Today, if we were to write a book for 100 years from today about Western Christianity, we're not going to tie us all into Mormonism. Yet Mormons are a Christian cult, meaning we would call them a cult, meaning that they have deceptions. We all probably do. But because we haven't arrived, otherwise we'd be doing a lot different than we are. But Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're what they would call themselves Christians. So all I'm saying is, if we were to define what is Western Christianity in a book, and we are looking back,
we wouldn't use an extreme.
That's right.
We would look for a central kind of, we would write more of a, like, center point.
Yeah.
Not one end or the other. So you're saying there was many sects of Gnosticism.
Yes.
And we've only been taught.
Some of them were off the wall.
And we've only been taught the ones that were way over here where Jesus didn't have a body. And
right. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that wasn't what.
All Gnostics.
No. The most were believing. I don't know. Most of them, I have no idea. But the ones I've read, those ones were talking about spirituality, that we are a spirit with a soul in a body, and they had a revelation, and they were, Jesus Christ was coming to them and bringing revelation, incredible light to them, and the apostles, just like Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala, right?
Yeah.
Same stuff, and it's like, but we just lump them all together, and then we throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's been the problem, and so mine is really simple. It's this. I have a teacher. The teacher is the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
He said, Jesus said that he will lead you into all truth, and he will bring me Christ, which is the living word. And that living word can come to me anywhere, any place, any time. And if I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me that will quicken me, do I have more faith in the devil to deceive me? Or the Spirit of God to lead me? And if I believe the Spirit of God, like he said to me, remember I told you in 2005, John, can you once again believe me as a little child? And that means I must trust him. And so that's what I've done. And he's broke open stuff to me.
Well, and even your definition that you've shared on the journey before, that actually means to be like a child without the ability to speak.
Yes.
So that way you're not negotiating the truth,
no,
but you're receiving the truth as it comes.
Yes, and I'm not qualifying where I got it no more than if I picked up and got a revelation off of this iPad, then all of a sudden I said the only way to hear God is through the iPad. I mean, that'd be silly, right? So if God wants to speak to me through a bird flying through. He spoke to David. It said the wind in the mulberry bushes, right? So he hears the wind, and you know what it is. It's like when that light hits you. That's what was happening to David.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, my gosh, the Lord was speaking to me through the mulberry bushes. Well, now we're not worshiping mulberry bushes, are we? So why,
not lately,
would I be afraid for God to speak to me? I'm a pursuer of truth.
But that unfortunately is because we have allowed people to put the Holy Spirit as an entity that comes and goes.
Like a feeling.
And basically replace him in the Trinity with the written Bible.
Yes.
Not knowing
the history of the book either.
Well, and not even just that. Mm. Jesus himself in the red letters.
In the red letters.
In the red letters.
Yeah.
Jesus himself looks at the Pharisees and he goes, you guys search these scriptures for eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But it stands before you, and you don't even know it.
I know.
And this is where I'm at, and I'm waking up to, is I have searched, climbed, clawed, and served my way to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in me the whole time.
I know.
He never left me.
No.
He never forsook me. He never turned me away. He never pushed me away. He never left. He never, 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 never. And it's like,
behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yeah.
If anyone hears my voice, I will come into him and we will sup.
Yeah. And where's the door?
In our hearts.
In.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the kingdom? Within.
Yeah.
This is like, yeah. Even when we talked about the praying thing, like where you brought up how the lady shared about like, okay, let's glorify God. Well, how many of you had an upward posture? Well,
yeah.
He's in you. He's not up.
Yeah,
so let's try to worship him with an inward posture.
Yeah.
That alone
messes with your head, right?
It's like, am I allowed to do that?
I know. It shows you programming.
Well, and it's like, what does it mean when it says to meditate upon the word? Well, what word? There wasn't a Bible written when that was written. And if he would have said the Torah, he would have said the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about
him, who is the Word.
What the Lord speaks to you.
Yeah.
And if the Lord is the only one I have to stand before, if God himself is the one I have to stand before, who am I then accountable to for the Word he gave me? Him or man?
It's him, man.
It's him.
That's what breaks you free.
And so when the Holy Spirit started coming to me in this season with stuff I did not understand,
yeah,
I made a decision that it might cost me everything that would look like it has value. But all that stuff is temporary. He is eternal.
Yeah.
I have way more accountability to him. And an eternal relationship with him than I do to explain myself to men. And it's gotten to the point now where I don't even, I appreciate what we do here and I'm for it because I believe bringing light helps people.
Yeah.
But I'm not here to qualify anything.
No.
And I don't believe you are either.
No.
And we might use scripture and show things and reveal things because we love people and we want them to see we're not crazy, take a different look at this.
Yeah.
But I'm not here to qualify God. I'm here to follow God.
That's it. It's about intimacy. Into me, see.
Come on.
That's what we're doing. Into me, see. And I see God. That's when I find the Lord. He dwells within me in the kingdom. He's the king. And so, as we learn to walk in this place of intimate relationship and knowing, gnosko, right? To know is what Paul talked about, like a husband and a wife. That intimate knowing, Song of Solomon, same thing, right?
Yeah, man.
That's all the journey. It's right there.
Yeah.
And so we just must learn what this is all about. And what we're doing is just trying to show that information will help us, but it can also imprison us. Because if we get stuck in our heads in the intellect, you can be like a philosopher all day, but like Emerson said, Farrell, there's no life in it. There's no life in the light, in that light. But there's life in Christ. And so when we begin, it's to bring us to him, and then he begins to unveil us. And it's God that's wanting to bring us back into restoration, up the ladder, back to spirit, to the fullness. Here's Jesus walking around, fully opened in the spirit world. He's in heaven, he told Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Right?
No one, except he who descended.
Yes, who is in heaven.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying, Nicodemus, if you can pick up on this, I'm trying to tell you.
I'm giving you heavenly secrets.
It's right here, man. It's right here. He's fully open, no veil. He can see, and he's also in the natural world, too. So he's surrounded by darkness, but he is light.
And I love that God is so powerful that he didn't just, like, I'm not blowing smoke in your direction, but you're very different than most people I know. Very different person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're just a different person than most people I know. I'd say you're like a spiritual Yoda, like a Christian Yoda.
Well, that's what I said about truth, is I don't seek truth for knowledge to puff up or wisdom you know what I mean? What I'm seeking is the heart and face of my Father.
But yet you have this call to articulate what you're walking through.
To help others.
Which is the prophet side.
Yeah.
And, well, not just the prophet side, but possible, all these things.
Yeah.
So here is here's this... basically what I'm trying to get to is,
okay,
you're this person who's very different from people I know. Then you inspire others to go into this, and some of us, like me, I'm very practical. But then all of a sudden, and not practical, I'm just very black and white, I'm very reactionary. I haven't had much of the journey within, right?
Well, if you'd have met me 30, 40 years ago, I'm you.
Yeah, and we've had encounters with each other. And there's this part of me where I'm like, I remember when you're like, hey, you know, we don't need to police, we need to love. And like you're just speaking these one little sentences that just pierce my heart. And I'm like, oh, it's so true. And then all of a sudden, boom, revelation hits me. But the crazy thing is God doesn't just do it that way. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, there's a YouTube video you can go watch.
Okay.
It's called How Great Is Our God with Louis Giglio.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who's totally the opposite. And I don't mean totally opposite. Louis is probably a great guy. We should contact him and hang out.
Yeah.
But he goes at it from a science point of view because that excites him. He's passionate about it. And he starts looking at how big the stars are compared to the Earth, and he starts finding all these things to the point where he gets to, like the million optic nerves have to line up and attach, and like 1 million from this side, 1 million from this side, 1-to-1 wiring is your eyeball in the womb, you know, like crazy stuff. And then that scientist dude comes up to him and says, "Yeah, but do you have like your showstopper, or your like your left hook or whatever?" And he talks about laminate. And I was just talking about it the other day with someone. And in the Bible, it says that through Christ, all things were made in heaven and earth. And in him, all things hold together. And so this guy, he tells Louis about this cell adhesion molecule. And he's like, "What's that?" It's like, well, basically, it's the rebar of the human body. It's what holds all things, like the rebar of matter, really.
Yeah.
It's what holds all things together. And he goes, "You need to go home and search on Google and find a diagram, a scientific diagram of it.
Of laminate."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does. And when he looks, it's a cross. I can pop it up. Yeah, you guys can go look. You can go look. It's a cross. So, like, we're talking 2,000 years ago, Paul says, through Christ, all things hold together. And the very thing that holds all things together is a cross. Then you start talking to me about the DNA strand, the double helix, and like, or is, what's it, triple helix?
Triple.
and that's the three-strand cord and the DNA of God and all these things. And you know, I believe that the more that it honestly, if your heart is for the Father, if you want to know the truth, if you're willing to be teachable, God can bring someone from any place into relationship. God will bring you into greater revelation. God will lift you up into this into where he is, his realm. Like we call it the Eden zone, if you know.
Pleasure.
Yeah, man. Like there is so much that we have just shut off because we didn't know that we were desired to be there. And like I always
we forgot the cross is what we did.
Yeah, like and that's why we need the Father Heart guys who come and and remind us that the Father desires to be with you.
If Toronto, that was what Toronto was all about, was the Father Heart of God. Father loves you. And it's like without it, you know, and when God moves in this next that other wave, again, which is a picture, it's like what will happen is you pop back into legalism. If you don't know that you're loved, that's why I say there's these transitions you go through from being saved to being a servant, to being childlike, to the bridal paradigm, and then there's the bondservant or the slave to love. And yeah, I can't be a slave to love until I understand the bridal paradigm, because if I'm not understanding God loves me like a bride, he's nuts about me. Mm-hmm. He wants to kiss me on my face 1,000 times a second, you know? If I don't understand his love, that it's that, like the sand of the seashore, you know?
Come on.
If I don't get that, then when I go to bondservant, guess what I get? You get a slave, you get somebody that's in legalism, and they want to, it's what it's called is an orphan spirit, and they want to put everybody under this thing that we must serve God, and we must, you know, do it, everything for God, and we're enslaved to God, and you must be obedient, and if you're not obedient, you're going to go to hell, and all this stuff. Well, you know, I guess, dude, you missed one step. You're going to have to go back because you missed it.
you missed a step there,
You missed the kiss, man.
You're missing some teeth. You hit a stair on the way up.
Yeah, you got to go get kissed again. So then it says, after that, we become a friend of God. We are in such union with God. We're like Moses was a friend of God. And then the next step, we become sons.
Which are pure reflections.
Yes. And then it says, we do not know. Come on. As of yet, what we shall become. We don't know any of those people. In fact, we don't know. Well, I haven't even seen a son yet other than Jesus. I mean, when I say a son, I mean somebody that's governing, you know?
Well, and
in the glory.
Well, and where we have seen glimmers of hope.
Yeah.
It's very hard for people. And I understand. Like, I'm one of those people, man. Like, I remember the last year just being like, I don't know what I'm doing here. This doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. Like, what does it even matter? Like, you know, like, but then all of a sudden it was like,
well, you remember you were held down in the wine vat there for a while with us.
The wine is fantastic.
Back in.
And the presence and bringing people to the presence of God.
Yeah,
but not understanding the importance of origin.
Yeah.
Not understanding these things because of I just couldn't wrap my head around why that would affect
identity
me until it did.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute, if I don't believe I come from you, then I'll believe that my default behavior is not like you. Therefore I'll always struggle with not being like you. But I am like you because you made me like you, and you made me in your image, and you knit me together. And wait a minute, I never really belonged to that other guy.
I was never a sinner.
And he came and told me. His system taught me separation.
Yeah.
Not my father. My father only embraced me. So was I ever separate? Because
only in your mind.
Yeah, I chose it without choosing it.
Yeah. And then we lived out of it. And because of it, back to that adultery thing.
Yeah.
We sinned. Sin was because of joining ourselves to somebody else instead of Christ.
And believing the lie. And what greater lie? Than to go tell people that they're not of God.
I know.
Oh, you're all sinful.
I told you he's a magician, isn't he?
You're born into sin, guys. Yes. You're just dirty.
You're just never going to be good.
You can't get to the throne room.
You'll be lucky if you ever get there. And
if God shows up, you're going to die.
If you make one mistake, you're going to burn.
You're going to die if he shows up. The all-loving embrace of the Father. You're going to die.
He's only going to love you and embrace you if you're perfect. But you already are. It's your mind. You're deceived.
And then we have the nerve to say, well, brother, read the word. Well, go read Ephesians.
Or Romans 7. It's not me that sins, Paul says, but it's sin that's in me. Who's going to deliver me? Christ.
Come on. You have been wrapped into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Father sees you with an unstained innocence. Why? Because the word wrapped there actually means to be kneaded into a pile of dough. And once you take a little ball and you put it in the middle,
you knead it.
And you knead it, you can no longer separate the ball from the dough.
So now it says this, we are one spirit with Christ.
Yeah.
We're kneaded.
And
in fact, the word there, I think, is fused, like fusion.
Fusion, yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah. And even, it's so wild because so many talk about predestination. And one time me and Ben, we called it inclusion.
Yeah.
I think he even came up with the word, like the inclusion gospel, where you were included in Christ. Yeah, you still have a choice, but you were there.
Yeah.
You were with him before the foundations of the world. When did he call you? When you were lost. Why? Because you were already his. Like, you have to start to see. And it's hard to see because if I was his, why did I spend all this time trying to get clean?
That was the trick at the tree.
Ladies Stick and gentlemen, on. We'd mic drop, but they're hanging on stands.
Yes. So, Bobby Connor, let me end with this. Bobby Connor said, the Lord told him that the other revivals in the past, even the biggest ones we can think of, they were his fragrance as he passed by. So what will it look like when he enters the room and his manifest presence is there? We call it habitation. Well, again, in the light of truth, he always is and always was and always will be. It's the unveiling
the awakening
of that truth, yes.
That's wild. Yeah, God, we just thank you.
Yes, Father.
You're so good to us.
I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, literally.
Yeah, literally. Yeshua's wonderful. Very good. I live and I move and I have my being in him. And in him there is no death, but only life.
Come on. Just want to let you guys know that if you guys want to be a part of the broadcast, you can go to our website, hcm-stratford.org or org, and you can click the PayPal link there and be a part of what we're doing here. Everything helps.
Yeah,
everything helps. And, you know, we've been stepping out in faith, moving forward with the vision, all that stuff that God's given us, and it's phenomenal, and we're super blessed and even just ridiculously creative in how we've had to do things and gotten really professional results with wisdom and not had to lose a lot of money doing it.
No.
But if you would like to be a part of what we're doing here, just go to the website, click the PayPal. I just got to do the commercial at the end.
Yep.
Because it does take money, and God always comes through, and he will continue to. But we want to give you guys the chance to be a part of what we're doing here and, you know, take a seat at the table.
Take a seat at the table.
All right, we'll see you next week, guys.
See you next week.